alerts or been told one was issued about you. A birth alert was a message sent to a hospital by child welfare workers before your baby was born. If this sounds familiar, you may be eligible for compensation through the Birth Alerts BC class action. Visit birthalertsbc.ca or call 1-833-632-6557.
Okay, wishing you good life.
Quick way.
Yo, weakses.
Tanet e. Negata kote.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
Okay, nistuni taniku na to ipita. Numhtu tu tatsaki tapi kainekawan nitsi istuak nas anistsa mianistsiksi na ki. My name is Eugene Braverock, and I'd like to welcome you to Season 3 of Words and Culture. I am excited to be able to introduce you to my community, my family, my culture, and especially my language. The Blackfoot people call themselves Nitsitapi, or the real people, or Siksikaiksitipi, the Blackfoot people. The Blackfoot Confederacy consists of four tribes, Siksikai, Kainai, Pikani, and Amskapi Pikani. Our nation was divided by an arbitrary line, something you may know as the Canadian-US border. Some of us call it the Medicine Line. Did you know that the Blackfeet Confederacy was part of the Jay Treaty in 1794, before Canada was even a country? As well, the Amskapi Pikani, who are south of the border, were a part of the Treaty of Treaty 7. Our traditional territory runs along the Rocky Mountains from Edmonton, Alberta, down to Denver, Colorado. As for me, I am an actor, a stuntman, a producer, and a consultant. I also work on the Uki Language Project, and I'll share more about that in upcoming episodes. On this season of Words and Culture, we're going to visit the Blackfoot, the Gitxsan, and the Dene. But we're kicking things off in Blackfoot country, from the majestic mountains to the people once described by Indian agents as the cream of creation. My first guest is Sterling Crying Head. He is a man from Kainai, and he teaches the Blackfoot language through his social media platforms. I chose him to be on the program because of his fluency and his young age. I spoke with him on the phone from his home in Bullhorn. The Blackfoot Nation's physical area is large, and we can't always travel in person to visit people. Picking up the phone for an afternoon conversation feels so old school and personal. This is our conversation.
Okay, Nistuakok, Pitapuka. Umhtoto, Kana, Umhtoto, Chitapi, Naksiks. Ogsik, Tayaksi, Takian, Oksisikoi, Taksin, Ikas. Ni. Hello, my name's Sterling Crying Head. My Blackfoot name's Pitapuka, which is Eagle Child. What I just said was introduced myself, and I'm really happy to be sharing part of my story, part of my past. I'm from the Blood Tribe, and I come from Small Blankets or Small Robes clan. Well, I'm not fluent, but I know some Blackfoot. I was always in Blackfoot's innocent spot, but I was pretty quiet as a kid, shy, and I think a lot of that was I would observe a lot, observe the Tsikakyos. My dad as well, he was able to speak Blackfoot, and my mom understood Blackfoot, but wasn't able to speak as good. When I was young, I had a chance to meet my great-grandmother. Her name was Ikinat Bestoyaki, which means a gentle diving woman. Her English name was Bertha Crying Head, or Wolf Child. And we lived up there, up at her house with her for some time. I remember her brother played, I forget his Blackfoot name, but Harrison Wolfchild was her brother. He would come in sometimes and visit and just listen, you know, hear them as well speak Blackfoot. And just, I think, hearing the language of how it sounded, like, not enough to make me fluent, but I think everyone that grew up, and we would all know a certain language of how, that's the most important thing, is hearing the sound of it. And I think that's why I was able to catch on once I started. I was always kind of trying to figure out what I was good at when I was young. I was never good at school. I never liked school. I never liked being in a classroom. But, you know, as I got older, I started kind of really found a passion in the Nipsey folks and our Blackfoot language, the real language. When I started striving to learn it, I remember first time I was probably about in high school at that time. And I would hear odd words here and there, you know, just like my dad speaking. That was enough to be fluent. But I would started wanting to learn more because I found I was able to read it so well, and I just grew like a passion for it. And I remember cleaning up my grandmother's house, and there were some boxes downstairs where we're just gonna throw them away because they were not ours. Or at the time, I wasn't really aware, but I'd seen a Blackfoot dictionary, but I wasn't thinking about it at the time. I thought I'll buy my own. Then a couple of days went by, it was raining outside, and still haven't hauled those garbage away yet. And it clicked in my mind. I was like, oh yeah, so I've seen a book, maybe I can use that. So I started reading the dictionary, noticing I was able to pick the words up, so to read it, the grammar of it. And I thought, well, we grew up hearing it, but I think once you start reading it, the ones that are trying to learn the language, it's always what's a part of us, who are in our spirit. And it's not lost. I think we just got to reconnect with it. It has shaped me to who I am now, and I have learned more by learning our language than like the words they mean. It taught me more than the words I find on there. You know, every day, I can access to going, every day I'm reading it and studying it, you know, observing how to speak. So that's what I've been doing through the years, and it has been also my therapy. It always made me very grounded. The way I grew up, I was quite, I didn't go out much. I just liked to stay home. I stayed out of trouble. I lived a different way, you know. I didn't, but that's one thing that really helped me and kept me grounded. To this day, I cherish and really appreciate how Nietzsche Bo'okshin has helped me.
I appreciate what you put out there on social media, you know, even the humor stuff. It really shows a lot about who we are as Nitsitipi and as Gene Kawan with our humor. And it's funny, I was looking at your word of the day the other day. I got a kick out of it. You're gonna go sell your bottles. but that's a common word, phrase, and saying that everybody should know, you know?
Oh, yes, yeah.
I have known of Sterling Crying Head for the past 20 years, probably. We grew up on the Rez, the Blood Tribe, or Kainai. At age 29, he is probably one of the youngest fluent speakers of the language. He also does words of the day on his social media.
Oh, can you see the guy? The matching nuts. You check us, ka. Oh, can that guy pick two bucks? Six.
I really enjoy listening to Sterling's technique and very proud and glad that he uses his platforms for social media to share his language and his wisdom and his insights of the language, especially utilizing everyday words and phrases and sayings. And yeah, who hasn't had to sell their bottles at one point?
You know, life can sure have challenges, but it's part of life, eh? But finding that the passion, what made me feel in a happy, positive state of mind, that peace, and that's what I kept striving for. Our words are powerful. Old people would say it. And my mom would always, my auntie would always hear them telling us to always watch our, how we use our words. And I remember when I started learning the Blackfoot, I was on a walk with my cousin. At the time, I was trying to learn more, and I told him, I said, one day I'm going to be fluent. And years passed by, and I looked to reflect and look where I am at now. Learned a lot over the years, and a lot of power and knowledge that the Tsitsitaamichi has to it. And like I said, I feel like it really has shaped me of who I'm being, learning the words. And that's the thing, is connection with the words. Because I always find it's like a spirit, you know, a lot of our way of life. Doing when I start teaching, putting more videos on TikTok, as a lot of people know me from there as well, I wanted to not do language less, but use it in a way of inspiration, as putting the music behind it and saying these inspirational words on my TikTok. You know, I'll keep this as positive as I can because I want this to inspire, but there has to be that little balance, you know. A lot of it from the intergenerational trauma, I start realizing. I think if we follow, always following our passion of what we have that passion for in life, to me, I think that's only the gift and spirits, that the gifts and skills we have. And that's what, even if we, when we find that passion we have, we should always give that extra step, because that's what's going to lead us in life. It's opened doors for me, following that passion. It has made me feel happy in life. And
Sterling Crying Head works at the Bringing the Spirit Home Detox Center in Standoff, Alberta. 2 years ago, his friend Todd across the mountain suggested that he start teaching his clients the Blackfoot language.
So when I started teaching, it really amazed me. I started showing the clients, and these are clients that come and strive for their healing recovery journey. So I started showing them Blackfoot and on a board, and they had fun that first day. The second time was every Wednesday, and their time wouldn't be will be Tuesday or something. If we're going to learn Blackfoot today, I told no, not till Wednesday. But they were determined to learn. And then that's the second day. I told them, well, after supper we're going to have Blackfoot. So after supper, they got their chores done, and they were already preparing that room. They were excited. Had their little journal books with them as well to write. And I started showing them, was something amazing. And these are people who as well, sure, battle their emotions as well. Start showing them words, and they were having fun with it. They were laughing in that room. It felt so positive. They're laughing, smiling, just having fun learning the language. And I thought then that second, it takes a bit such a, I was amazed, and I thought, the language is really powerful. These are people that are battling addiction, battling their emotions, but seeing the way it brought that positive energy, laughter, and smiling towards them.
Bringing them connection and purpose. That's right. That's awesome. That's such a good story. Yeah. It was very powerful. You're right.
That the work we do here is always for to bad to be healthy, and then the no skits it will be our hearts, you know, coming from the right reasons. And if we do things from our hearts, you know, it's truly going to make a powerful impact. And so on. And now I start teaching more of the Blackfoot. I set up a Blackfoot session and stand off every Tuesdays, and that as well I'm not getting funded for, but still went ahead with it because I think I'll find the values and share and giving this back to people who want to learn it, and I'm not receiving money out of it. It's sucky as well. I'm feeding as well. And I think that's supplying all the values as well. So, you know, I'm feeding, showing generosity. I never say I'm going to teach, but I'll say we'll learn the language together because I'm still learning a lot as well. But it has really opened doors for me. This is only the start for it, and I know I still got a long way to come go, but I believe it's going to be really very positive for everyone, and I believe this is going to be it's our strength, not like our spirit. And it's in the spirit. I always say our language is the root of the tree. That's we need to plant. Is that language? That's, if you go back to residential school, what's one thing they target was our spirit, our language. Our language is our spirit. And I think when we're speaking our language, again, reviving it back. And as myself, you know, I felt it as well. Like I said, it has really been my guider, my helper, you know, and the language. It kept me out of trouble, kept me out of any negative lifestyles, and I think we start speaking the language, even the youth, that's where we're going to find that strength back within us. That's where that tree and that tree's going to grow. That's all I'm trying to do, is inspire others, and we'll be able to keep our language in myself, knowing while we are going to continue to keep it alive, and we're just planting that seed of our language now. And I know over the next couple of years, because I see a lot of younger people as well trying to learn the language, and a lot of Blackfoot program languages going up, and people need to attend these languages sessions in person. You can't really learn from a screen or over the. I think the best way is to be in there as a person, because you got to. Feel and make that connection with the books and the language. Well, I remember being, when I was younger, hearing older people speak, you would feel that very good energy it brings to oneself hearing it.
It's nice when I go back home and I'm able to sit and listen to the language being spoken, whether it's casual conversation or a story or even a joke. The way the elders speak, there's rhythm and flow to it. Sometimes there's even exaggeration in the way the words are spoken. The way they say, "Oki, ah, tanitapi." I can still hear my old bus driver's voice, Wayne Plum. The cadence of his voice. He was a really loud dude. Louder than me, even. But the one thing I've always had a difficult time with is reading the language. But like Sterling, the Blackfoot Dictionary has also helped me. I will read the dictionary and it helps me to figure out exactly what I want to say, the meaning behind the words. It's a different feeling sometimes, knowing the language, being able to understand it, but not being able to speak it, or even to reiterate what was just told to me. It's almost like I feel it in my spirit, as opposed to being able to turn around and explain it to somebody. I asked Sterling how he learns the language.
Main thing is to have fun with it, learning it, not feeling like it should be a challenge. So I always write the English words in one note and the Blackfoot words in the other opposite notebook. And every day I'll practice the one in English and try to translate it in Blackfoot, then the opposite, learn the Blackfoot and try to translate it in English. And while I'm doing that, you know, I try to visualize the action word in my head as well. And buying a recorder is really useful as well. You know, I'll record myself saying the words so I can give myself some time to sit there and listen. to myself saying the words, you know, on the recorder. And while I do that, I kind of just visualize what is being said. And it really works, because over time, I kind of get a point where I can pick up people who are conversating. Yeah. You know, the way I'm teaching it now is very still new at teaching, but using words that, like, I'm trying to make sentences. Like, the last class I had and was about going to shopping. So I threw a word to go grocery shopping for food, and words that we're going to use every day. You know, we got to start implying the words we use daily. The colors and numbers are, but less, I think we got to do the less colors and numbers in the schools, like applying the words that they can say that on a daily basis.
I think that's great. I think comb your hair. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Brush your teeth.
Oh, yep.
Hurry up, you know? I'm going to school. You know, there's so many different common words. I hear you when you say it about, because, I mean, even right now, you go take a Blackfoot class in the university, they're going to teach you numbers, colors, body parts. But it's hard to put those together in a real sentence. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges that we have right now in teaching our kids?
One thing for every day, I think the children today, it's hard because they're always watching every day. They're always watching their tablets or things like that.
Electronic
technology
is
quite in the way of that. But I think that's where it is really important for even just people who are starting to learn. You know, it's all going to start from their house and learning the words you can use in their house and speak. You know, have a conversation with children in our language, like a natural, so it won't feel like a school, but they'll automatically pick up. So I have a niece and nephew, and I always try to say words to them. Over time, they'll pick up a word that I'm saying. They don't know what I'm saying. Like right now, that's where it's going to start from, is our children. And I think our children coming up, that's where it's going to be mostly strong. And but at our age here, I think we're the ones who are going to plant that seed of that root of the tree. The courage I have for the Nixie Nixup flag, so are trying to learn the language. I know once they start learning the words and they're going to start seeing the way it's going to make them feel, the healing that's going to come with it as well. That's the big pain thing we are missing. And once you start making connection with the language, that's just like calling our true identity, our spirits back. So much strength in there. And I know once that comes with speaking the language, and that's the reason I'm trying so hard, not for my own gain, not for my own self, as right now I'm sharing the language on Ghana. I'm not gaining anything from it, and that's the way I wanted it to be, so I can give back, you know, as thankful as how it helped me, knowing it can sure help a lot of our people out there.
Well, I thank you for what you're doing, because what you're doing, that power, I mean, there is power in that, and it's something that can't be bought in, or, you know, that's more powerful than anything.
Yeah, so, you know, because I truly care for the people a lot, and been taught how to be humble in life and how not to belittle anyone. We're all the same, no matter what. And that's the way I look at everyone, and doing that, what I do with the language, it's my passion, it's who I'm, my purpose. We all have a purpose. No one's purpose is it either greater or lesser than the one beside? All our purposes and gifts and skills we have are all that piece of the bigger picture. And that's why spomanitapisin is so very well important, helping another. Care for one another. Encourage one another, ignite one another. You know, that's where I know it's very important to keep our language spoken.
As our time together winds down, Sterling decides to leave us with a song that he wrote in Blackfoot.
That was a song I made. It means love medicine. What makes one fall in love? It's a love song.
That was Sterling Crying Head. He's a language learner, and while he doesn't like to call himself a teacher, he really is. He is a sharer of the Blackfoot language, and I'm grateful for his work. My name is Eugene Braverock. I'm your host for the Blackfoot episodes. To hear all our episodes of Words and Culture, including episodes from the Haida, the Métis, and the Anishinaabe, please visit our website at www.wordsandculture.ca. And remember to check us out on socials. Just search for Words and Culture.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Amiya.
Yami.
Kachu nautano.
Halakasla.
Gitaya kitamatanukua. We'll see you later.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. The support from our awesome community helps keeping the station diverse and independent. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Working a long shift in intense heat can be dangerous, whether it's in a sunny farm field or a sweltering restaurant kitchen. People working in these conditions can get seriously ill or even suffer a potentially fatal heat stroke. Gaurav Vasisht of the New York State Insurance Fund says an analysis by his group showed that workers' compensation claims were much more common on very hot days.
Injuries on average were 45% more likely and 20% more severe.
And global warming is bringing more extreme heat. So last year, the New York State Insurance Fund began offering a program to help small businesses and industries such as construction, manufacturing, and farming buy fans, cooling vests, ventilated hard hats, and other personal protective equipment, or PPE, for their employees.
This is a 10% premium credit up to $1,000 that's available to small businesses that purchase PPE to protect their employees from the effects of climate change, of extreme heat.
Vasisht says the program is already making an impact.
People have come up to us and said that they've been able to purchase PPE that they wouldn't have been able to purchase. That's pretty heartening to hear that.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.